be reading from Matthew chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. And when they received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day."
Mark Twain said, "Don't complain and talk about your problems." 80% of the people don't want to listen. The other 20% thinks you deserve them. We all have problems. And we all want a little bit of sympathy when we tell others about our problems. So was Mark Twain right? Let me ask you, if you use social media, how quickly do you pass over the post of people who are sharing their complaints and grumblings about life? Charles Spurgeon was probably the premier Baptist preacher. And he preached a lot of very, very good sermons that a lot of people could get a lot out of. But he wrote, "Those who complain first in our churches are those who have the least to do. The gift of grumbling is largely dispensed among those who have no other talent or who keep what they have wrapped up in a napkin." You know, Thanksgiving is coming up in just 4 days. Back in June, I said we need to be Christmas shopping, but boy, did I miss the boat on that one. But for many, Thanksgiving means extra food on the table, a day off from work, maybe an extended weekend, spending time with family and friends, maybe watching more TV than we normally would. Maybe it's a day where we're going to get ready for Black Friday that really starts on Thanksgiving Day. So what do we have to complain about? Life is far better than we deserve. Based on my own merits, I know that I don't deserve the love of my wife or my children, my family, and my friends. That I don't have the and don't deserve to have my sins forgiven by the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. I know I don't deserve to spend eternity with God in heaven. But yet all of these wonderful gifts are mine. Life is good. Have you ever sat down at the table and prayed, giving thanks to God for the food, and then spend the rest of the meal complaining about life? You know, as I was reading this parable earlier this week and preparing for the lesson, I was kind of surprised at where it led me and how much I really needed truly to hear this. And I hope that when we're done, you got the feeling that you needed to hear it too. In the first 16 verses of Matthew 20, it is Jesus' parable of the laborers. And it is a teaching that is based on a real-life situation. But to understand this parable, we need to connect to the reason or the backstory. It is in Matthew 19 that we find the backstory to the parable of the hired laborers. You know, the men who translated and put the Bible together would have been better served if they'd have put the chapters after the whole issue was finished, or that Jesus was speaking about, so it would be easier for us to understand the context in which things were written. But they didn't, so we have to piece some things together. But the backstory of this actually begins in verse 16 of Matthew 19. We have a rich young Jewish man who came to Jesus, and he asked him what he needed to have to do to have eternal life. And it was a great question, and it is a question that is so great that it is still being asked. It was asked of Peter the day of Pentecost, and men and women still ask it today. But the bottom line answer was that the man needed to put God first, but he couldn't. Jesus pushed him by telling him to sell everything that he had to give it to the poor and to follow him, but he couldn't do that either. You see, the things that this man had was more valuable to him than the spiritual things that he did not have. And that is a point that each of us need to ponder on occasionally. What do I value more than God? After Jesus told his disciples how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, Peter asked him a question. And a response from that. And Peter in verse 27 then answered Peter, and he said unto them, "Behold, we've forsaken all and followed you. What are we going to get?" And Jesus, he tells them that in the kingdom they will be sitting on thrones. But he finishes with the words in verses 29 through 30. "For everyone who has forsaken brethren or sisters or fathers or wives, mothers, or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." The point that Jesus is making here is that no matter how much you think you are giving up, you're going to get far more than what you gave. Now, with that background, let's look at the first seven verses in Matthew chapter 20. "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto the man that is a householder, and he went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyards. And he went out again on the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'Go, you also to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you.' And they went their way. And he went out again the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same. And then at the 11th hour, he went out again, and he found others standing idle, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here all day idle?' And they said to him, 'Because no man has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go to the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that you shall receive.'" Friends, the kingdom of heaven is simply any place where the king reigns. And for us, that can be found in the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and we are part of that spiritual kingdom. This parable is telling us just how important it is for everyone to be a part of God's kingdom. It's not about those who are morally better than others. It's not about those who work harder than others. It's not about those who gave their lives to Christ before others. It is about the kingdom, not the individual. And yet that's the problem. Look in verses 8 through 10. "So when evening came, the Lord of the vineyard, he said to his steward, 'Call the laborers, give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first.' And they came that were hired about the 11th hour, and they received every man a penny. But when the first came, he thought that they should have received more. And they also received every man a penny. In this portion of this parable, it's important for us to see the master of the house needs workers to come and work in his vineyard. The vineyard is so important to the master that he wanted as many people to working in it as possible. He went out first thing in the morning. He went out the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, even an hour before the end of the day looking for laborers. We can never forget that the vineyard is the kingdom of God and just how important that kingdom is. God wants us to gain the reward for being in the kingdom. Not because of who you are or what you have to offer, but because of what God offers. But you know, here in this parable, just like so many others in the church, these workers did not get it. Verses 11 through 15, let's continue there. And when they received it, they murmured against the head of the house, saying, "These last have worked but 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and heat of the day." But he answered one of them, and he said, "Friend, I didn't do you any wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take what is yours and go your way. I will give to the last, even as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because mine is good?" Rather than these people need a support group to help them deal with the disappointments they think they have in life. They are not focused on the reality of the blessing they've received, but the perceived desire to have more based on their own self-importance. You can hear it in the church, no matter what church you go to, no matter where you're at. "I've worked harder. I've taught more classes. I washed all the dishes of the fellowship meal. Where is my reward?" A grumbler is never satisfied with what they have. If it's money, they never have enough. If it's their home, someone has a nicer one. If it's bad grades in school, it's the teacher's fault. Some of these folks are experts in criticism. They have a PhD in nitpicking. Nothing is ever really enough. A grumbler seeks himself. In this parable, Jesus tells us the grumbler's real issue in verse 12. It's the money. It's the effort. Truth is, they believe they were owed more because they did more. Notwithstanding the fact that they agreed to the exact amount at the beginning. How many of us have taken a job and the first day at work we complained about the pay? "Well, I'm not getting paid enough." Dude, you took the job. They told you what you... Have you ever... What would you like, have you ever been asked by an employer, what are you expecting to be paid? I have. You know, and I'm like, I don't know, $1 million an hour, I don't know. Thing is, you're going to get what they're going to give you because it's theirs to give. It's not yours to take. We have people out there today in society complaining about what they're getting for pay, but they think they deserve more. Now, let me ask you, those who are out there turning wrenches in the sweat and heat of the day, those who are breaking their backs lifting heavy loads, do you think that someone flipping a burger needs more money than you? We're just not satisfied with the blessings we have. In this parable, we need to understand and know we cannot root for the wrong side here. Some people feel bad for those who work so hard and got the same amount. But this is a parable on how God deals with people in the kingdom. And if you have an issue with the owner of this parable, you have an issue with God. The problem with that, if we are siding with the workers, is that we either overestimate our own importance or we underestimate God's vineyard. In verse 16 of Matthew 20, Jesus said, "So the last shall be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen." The meaning of this verse and what was said to Peter right before this parable is a language of service and humility. It is about gratitude for the blessings that we are given and not looking for more. It seeks to change us from the inside out. Thanksgiving is just 4 days away. And I hope and pray that you'll have a great time with whoever you're spending the day with. And if you've been saved and sanctified and secure in Christ, then you have an awful lot to be thankful for. Pray that you'll keep your focus on your blessings and don't worry about others. There are many things that we don't know about others, but this I do know. God has called us into His kingdom. And He blesses us beyond measure. If you haven't been saved, if you haven't been sanctified, if you haven't are not secure in Christ, and you want to have the same joy and confidence, I pray this morning that you will take that step to come to Christ. To obey His gospel through repentance and confession and baptism. I can't tell you if this is the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. Today may be the 11th hour. It may be the 11th hour. And when the day is done, it will be time for payment. What will you receive when the day ends? Will you receive your penny with thanksgiving, that penny being eternal life? The wages that you had for laboring in the vineyard? Or will you receive a lake of fire? The choice is yours. The message is don't delay. It may be too late. If there's anyone that has a need or a desire this morning, we pray that you will come as together we stand and we sing.